Morning, church. I just want to thank our pastors, Pastor Stephen and Pastor Unami, for this opportunity to be able to share, and also our senior pastors, Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrea, and most of all, I want to thank our Lord and Savior Jesus. My message today, I've entitled Competing for the Prize. So, I'd like you to say to your neighbor, I'm competing for the prize. Yeah, I've got a scripture taken from 1 Corinthians. Can we just have that scripture, please? Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. This race we're running, my brothers and sisters, is a race of endurance. It's a long race. So you can't break out in a sprint 100 meters. You're not going to go for very long. You're going to get burnt out. And then you can't also run too slow, because you're not going to get there in the end. You might get left behind. So you've got to run in such a way that you could compete for the prize. You've got to be temperate. And the word temperate is, you've got to be able to be self-control, self-discipline. So you know what you need and what you don't need. So we're continuing with our faith series. And so I go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And the word says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance that is set before us. So I just want to look at a few witnesses, you know, that have run before us. And the word therefore is as a result of. So I won't go through all of them, but we look at Enoch in the Bible. And Enoch walked with God and talked with God. And then Enoch was not. So because of his great faith, Enoch was taken up. I mean, we've got Pastor Stephen with us. And then all of a sudden, Pastor Stephen is not. Because if it's a man of great faith, how good is that? But these days, it'll be hard to trace. You know, did he get taken up? Because there's so many people. But back in the day with Enoch, there weren't that many people. So for sure, Enoch was taken up with God. And then we go to Noah. Now, even the small children, I was talking to my grandson. He knows the story of Noah. And in the day of Noah, we find the people were sinning. And God said to Noah, build this ark. And Noah never wavered, because the people were putting him under a lot of pressure. They said, what are you building this ark for? Because it hasn't rained in years. But Noah, he trusted God. He was a man of faith, and he built the ark. And we know what happened. God wiped out everything besides Noah, his family, and the animals that were saved at that time. So these are the people that ran before us. Because of them, we can say we are here today. And then another man of God was Abraham. We all know the story of Abraham, that he was a man of faith, and he believed God. Even at the ripe old age of about 100, God said, I will give you a son of promise. And no one, Abraham never doubted. And we see that him and Sarah had a son of promise at a ripe old age. And the word says that Let me just get a drink. Abraham was a friend of God. And because he was a friend of God, he was blessed. And so we are blessed because Abraham was blessed. He's a father of many nations. So those are just a few people that we see that ran before us. So we got to run this race of endurance. And finally, we look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the word said, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, just before the hour of his betrayal, he was praying and he had his disciples and he could see how he's going to be crucified, what agony he's going to go through. And he was actually sweating drops of blood. But the joy of opening the door, preparing the way for us to come into the kingdom of heaven, that's what gave him that happiness to say, it is all worth it. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. And are we able to say that today, my brother and sister? Not my will, but thy will be done. And we look at King David. When the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Israel, he was so happy and joyful that he danced vigorously before the covenant, the Ark. And he danced so vigorously that his wife was looking through the window and she wasn't impressed because she thought he's dancing to impress the people. My brother and sister, sometimes we need to let our head down. When we are in the presence of the Lord, we got to give him our all. And David jumped and leapt, and you found out, he said, I'll do it again because I'm doing it for my Lord. I'm not doing it to impress anybody. And that's what we need to remember. I remember back in the years, I mean, I must have been just newly married myself, and I was quite a busy young guy. Doing a lot of things, playing soccer and being involved in a lot of things. I had my young family. I wasn't really, you know, being a good husband because I was with my friends and soccer and doing a lot of things. But I always knew a seed had been planted in my life that when the time comes for me and I want to make a decision, I will be baptized. And my wife told me, we're going to a Christian center, there's a service taking place and a few people are going to be baptized. So I didn't say anything to her because I knew that will be my time to do it. And we went for the service that night, and when the guy said, okay, those who are going to be baptized, get up and go and change. And I got up and my wife actually pulled me back to say, what are you doing? And I said, no, don't worry about it, it's okay. And I went and changed, and we came back, and in the pool, when I got out, I remember it was a little bit windy because this house was on the beachfront. But I had an inner joy deep within my spirit that was a continuous laughing. And I asked my wife, do you remember me laughing? And she said, no. But that was where the word says, when one soul comes to repentance, the host of heaven rejoices. And I thank God, I mean, I'm talking to you, but I'm preaching to myself, that from there I never looked back, you know, and my friends and family, they were not happy. Because it was just like last week, and we did this, that, and the other. Now, all of a sudden, you're telling us, you don't do these things no more. They were really upset. Some of the friends said, you must still come here by us, never mind you not doing it, but you must be here. And it wasn't good because I think, you know, there's such a thing called transference of spirits. And I used to be there and they're doing all these smoking their drugs and drinking and whatever because we're all soccer players. Then I go home to my family, but sometimes I was just like shouting for nothing. And my wife said, what happened? I said, no, I don't know. She said, did you have a drink? I said, no. But because I was amongst them, That kind of thing could have jumped onto me. So when we run this race, my brother and sister, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves because any athlete that's going to run such a race, they won't just go and run in the Olympics. They got to discipline their bodies, prepare themselves, strengths and weaknesses. We need to know our strengths. We need to know our weaknesses. And it also happened to me while I was still in boarding school. I think I must have been in my standard 8. And, you know, only the naughty children go to boarding school. And it was a sports day. And I had prepared for this race. It was a 1600. So it's like 4 rounds around the ground. And this ground, it was dug out. So the actual track was below. And you had a bank right around. So the people are watching you from the top. The cars would just park on the top. And there was a teacher that said, no, I'm backing you to win this race. Because we had a couple of good guys. So you had the boarders, which were us, boarding school, and the day scholars. So it's like a competition. Anyway, I had prepared. I was ready. I knew, like when you do your third lap, before you get to that bell for the last lap, I already took off from the third lap before the bell could ring. So by the time the bell rang, I had a head start to the next corner. And all good, ready to go on the sports day. You must know we got children from all over South Africa, so the parents are coming from all over. And one of my friends said, no, come with me, my family is here, and we went there. And because you haven't seen them for so long, they offer you a lot of stuff. And they gave us some nice chicken, roast chicken, and some rolls. Now, I'm going to run a race. I shouldn't even be having this. And then they gave us some beverage, some beer. And because you're at school, you know, it's like a privilege to have a beer. I mean, it's not allowed. But for you, it's like, hey, I'm somebody. And they gave us 2, like, dumpy size. And that was too much. I had that beer and everything, and wasn't long, the race was on. And I did everything according to my training. Even that last, the third round before the bell, I took off. And I came around. Now, you must know the bank is full. All the witnesses are watching. And as I came past the bell, I was ahead. All these good runners were quite a way back. I knew I got you. But when I came around the second bend now before the last, something happened. I think that beer must have come up into my throat because there was a burning in my chest. And I felt, no, I can't go anymore. And these guys came up so quick. They were on me. I only had one way. I tripped. I just tripped myself down. So, boom, they're gone. But that's what we are like today. We make a mistake, and we say, the devil tripped me. It's too late. You're making an excuse. You knew. You should not have done such a thing. That's why we need to look at Jesus. You know, Jesus started his ministry when he was about 30 years old. And you find that Jesus went down to the Jordan and he got baptized. And when he got baptized, the dove came down on his shoulder and the voice spoke from heaven, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And you see that Jesus started his ministry from there because he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. And you find that 40 days, 40 nights, no food. And then straight away, the devil came to him after those 40 days and tempted him. But you see, Jesus, he knew the word. And he said, it is written. And again, the devil came the second time, it is written. The third time, my brother and sister, we need the word. We need to know the word. So we cannot rely on one Sunday a week to come to church. We need to have some connect, some kind of fellowship. Can be family, can be friends. But when you visit them, you're having a chat. You've got the media, you've got TV, you've got preaching on TV. It's like a vehicle. You cannot drive your car for a whole week on one tank, especially when you're traveling like 200 Ks a day. I do about 200 Ks a day. So I have to top up. by maybe the second or third day, unless I'm only going local, which means you're not going anywhere. But we are going on a long trip. We are on the way to heaven. We want to get that prize. We want to get to heaven, so we need to top up our tank. We need to get involved, listening to the word, reading the word, and discussing the word whenever we can. Because there is one that is out to rob, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He's just waiting for you to make a slip up. Especially when he knows your plan is to run this race. And there's a thing that interferes with us called doubt. This doubt, it is the enemy's territory. When people start to doubt, that is when the enemy knows this is my opportunity. Because back home, we were still, I was still a new Christian, given my heart to the Lord, and we were going to this church, a Baptist church, and we stayed with a family, and they had a son and daughter, and the boy must have been about 7 or 8, and his name was Trevor, and the sister must have finished school. But what happened was, it was a Christian family, we were all Christians. She fell in love with a non-believer, a Hindu boy, and anyway, this happens, this is life, and they got married. But I think at the wedding ceremony, the young boy, being a Christian, partook of something there that was sacrificed to some other god. So when he did that, he opened the door for some foul spirit to enter. We didn't know. The following week, we had a conference in our church. Man was preaching, and afterwards, he called people up for prayer. And the young boy got up. But as he got up, there was a grunting sound that came from him. So there was a spirit that had entered him because of his doubt. And the church decided, we're going to fast and pray for a whole week. And so a whole week, those who could make it fasted and prayed. And the Friday, we had Trevor up on the front. About 5 of us were there. I wasn't there too, laying hands on him and praying for him. But my brother and sister, when there is doubt, Jesus said, a prophet is not honored in his own hometown, because he could not perform one miracle because people are doubting him. They said, you are Joseph's son. You are not the son of God. How can you say this and that? And that's what happened. Nothing happened there. We prayed. Few of the guys that were there, I think one or two pastors, they said, we won't go home until this demon comes out. Maybe 10 in the night, nothing happened. So they said, okay, let's leave it, let's go. We went home. And the Monday morning, everybody went back to work. A man came from another place not far from there, a prayer warrior. This man fasts and prays and goes up to the mountain and prays. He heard about Trevor. Just one man by himself came there and bit of anointing oil and a bit of water, holy water sprinkled around. When we came back from work, we heard that Trevor has been delivered from the demon. Hallelujah. The God that we serve, you got to serve him in spirit and truth. You do not have to doubt or waver. When you're on this road, when you are running this race, you got to know who you serve. And Trevor was delivered by one man. After the whole church had fasted and prayed and done everything, nothing happened. There were some doubtful starters there. But this man came, and that we see the same thing happen to when Jesus went up in Mark chapter 9. Anyway, I'll just cut it short. Jesus went up to the mountain with his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured before them. And then after that, he came down. He said to them, tell nobody about me being transfigured. Then when he came down, then one in the crowd came and said, his son has... The one in the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, and they could not cast it out. How come the disciples could not cast out this demon? But anyway, Jesus said to them, O faithless generation, faithless. We have to be full of faith. We got to know who we serve. And we see that Jesus calls the boy and straight away casts out the demon. Jesus says with a deep voice, I remember I saw the movie Jesus of Nazareth, and he said to the boy, he said, Satan, leave. And the boy was healed. So we got to stand on that authority. We got to stand. We got to be able to pray for our children. Pray in any situation where there's a need. You don't have to always be running to people. You are able to do it yourself. My brother, my sister, we have the tools to do this. God said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll be able to say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and it shall be done. And we see in Acts chapter 19, just as I'm about to close, there was a few guys, sons of Sceva, and he was a priest. And these boys, his seven sons, do not live the right way. They were living their own life. But they thought that they could pray for a demon spirit. And have you got that, my brother? Acts chapter 19, verse 14 to 17. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest who did so. And anyway, they laid hands, his seven sons, on this demon-possessed man, and they said, in the name of Paul that Jesus preaches. And the demon spirit said, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? We cannot doubt when it comes to this word, when it comes to this gospel. We got to be able to walk boldly and be able to know who we serve. Brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity today to come up for prayer. If you are in doubt, if you have fear, if anything you are not sure of, the pastors will pray. But we just want to thank God that He has come to show us the way that we are able to run this race of endurance, that we might obtain the prize. Amen. We give God the praise and the glory. Amen.